following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're all doing well. It's beginning of September, man, we are heading into this is Labor Day weekend. School's supposed to start this weekend, right? Well, I don't know if that's really going to happen. I guess a lot of schools, of course, have postponed for a few weeks. And whether they go back to the classroom, whether they work remotely, whether they do it on a hybrid basis, we're all trying to do what's best. And it's just kind of been a roller coaster ride along the way. I'm feeling really positive about the future. I know there's a lot of people that are feeling a lot of negativity right now, not feeling so certain about what the future will hold, but I think we're making some significant progress here. Yeah, I know we see the COVID rates, the positive rates are still at a significant number, but you know, we're testing people, 700,000-800,000 people a day. Some of them are overlaps, by the way. You know, how many tests have you had? I know I've had two already. Both of them have been negative, but many people have been tested several times. But what's really interesting is the hospitalization rates are going down. The deaths are going down. All of those figures are, I think, far more significant than the number of positive cases. Look, we don't want to see positive cases out there, but I think we're beginning to manage this. And with any luck, we will have a vaccine or some kind of preventative treatment program in the months to come. So I'm remaining optimistic. And frankly, I believe the stock market's remaining rather optimistic. Look at how we have kind of surged in the past several months. I mean, look, we had one of the best, August was one of the best months that we've seen in decades. And July wasn't so bad either. I know many clients and many of you who are looking at your statements, you're saying, my goodness, I never in a million years would have thought that I'd be back to where we were or even better from those dates when we saw those lows in March. I mean, I even think when I was talking back in April and May when, you know, I still was remaining positive, though we weren't so sure what was going to happen. The market had dropped some 35%. And my guess was, and I've got this recorded several times, saying my guess was is we would make back about 50% of what we've lost by the end of the summer. And by the end of the year, we would be back beyond where our high was. Never in a million years did I think we would respond as quickly as we have. However, the positive nature of the stock market has been a little bit misleading. And I want to try to help you today in understanding why it's been a little bit misleading and why you might be feeling, geez, my portfolio doesn't seem to be performing as well as the stock market. And I'm saying that in quotation marks, the stock market index, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Why am I not performing as well? The other thing we've got weighing on us right now is, of course, a pending election, 60 some odd days until the election. I thought it was interesting that the debates have now been set. There are three debates that are going to happen. The first one, I think, is September 26th, September 29th, something like that. And then there's two in October that are going to happen. I honestly think, to tell you the truth, this election is far closer than we may want to believe or want to think. Remember, we all live in a bubble here. In Massachusetts, we all know how the outcome is going to go. We all know where the majority of voters lean here in Massachusetts. But we do not speak for the country. And the country is a lot of people. Now, do I believe more people will get out and vote than ever before? Absolutely. We may break record numbers of the number of people that will vote. And in fact, I believe that the popular vote may give a different outcome than what the Electoral College might show. And that may be disappointing for a lot of people, and we'll have to challenge that. We'll have to have that as a challenging discussion if that happens. But I would not hang my hat yet on leaning in the direction that many people here in Massachusetts believe the outcome is going to be. There's a lot that can happen in 60 days. So let's be careful. Let's just be aware of it all. Let's just be aware. And like I've said in previous shows, if Donald Trump wins this election, and I know some people shudder when I say that, if he wins the election, I think we know what we're going to get. I mean, you know what it's going to be. You know what life's going to be like. I think this president has learned a lot. He's still arrogant, no question about it. But if you look at your statements, if you look at your portfolios, if you've looked at the economy, he's been very good for the economy. Now, Joe Biden winning this election is not going to be bad for the economy. I'll tell you that. Joe Biden, I don't think, will create any problems. So to me, it really doesn't matter to me who wins the election. I would, though, throw a bone of caution out there that if you were an investor and you got the sense that there was going to be a clean sweep in these elections, that the Democrats would own both the House and the Senate and win the White House, now we're in for some challenging times. Now we are almost guaranteed to see income tax rates go up, capital gain tax rates go up, dividend tax rates go up, corporate tax rates go up. That's a certainty. That's a policy, and it would easily pass if there was a clean sweep of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Consensus is saying right now that the Senate is a toss-up, so we will see what happens. The House will be held by the Democrats for sure. The Senate is a toss-up, and I actually believe the White House right now is a toss-up. But who knows? What do I know? I mean, I'm just another voice. We can all sit and argue and make our case for why the current president is good or not good for this country. Who knows? At the end of the day, the Electoral College will tell us what the outcome will be. Our problem is that unlike previous presidential elections, on election night, we're not going to have a result because it's going to be close. And all of those mail-in ballots and there have been tons of mail-in ballots, that may take a while to count what happens. I mean, take a look what's happened here in Massachusetts. We just had elections this week, and the number of mail-in ballots, I think, was greater than the number of people who actually went to the polls on Tuesday, I guess it was, when we had the election. So we'll see. We will see what happens. Anyways, we have been here at Friedman Financial fielding a lot of questions from a lot of people lately. People are starting to get serious about saying, you know, it is time for me to get my financial house in order. I'm feeling a little bit better. My accounts have responded back. I'm getting a little bit more clarity on whether my job is stable or unstable. I'm beginning to talk and understand what's going on with my parents. Some people are having to care for their parents or having to help transition them to a senior facility or wherever it might be. People are getting some more clarity. We're getting more comfortable about getting out and about, and people have a lot of questions. And so what I'd like to do today on our call is try to answer some of those questions that we have been fielding and offer some perspectives as well. One of the things that I thought was interesting, I don't know if you knew this, but Warren Buffett turned 90 years old this week. Yeah, Warren Buffett, one of the greatest investors in the world. And this Sunday, an article was shared with me, and it showcased a bunch of Buffett-isms, if you want to call them, and I thought I'd share some of those because they are great tools and stories on how investing can work and how you can be successful investing. Because I can't tell you how many calls we get or people that I run into and say, Mark, what's your thoughts about Peloton? Or what's your thoughts about Tesla? And folks, that is not the way you want to be investing. That is called speculating, trying to get in and get out. If you're serious about financial planning, it requires us to take a look at the big picture, everything in your financial life. I know I talk about this all the time, and perhaps I bore you to death when I talk about this, but it's important that you know where everything is and what everything is worth. It's critical. It's how we can make smart financial decisions. Look, this past week, many of you who are depositors at Eastern Bank got a letter that invited you the opportunity to purchase shares of Eastern Bank prior to them going public. And we fielded a lot of questions. In fact, I was out at a restaurant and one of the waitresses asked me, Mark, what do you think about buying Eastern Bank stock? Let me put a few parameters around this. Number one, if you want to buy an individual stock, you have to ask yourself, why do I want to buy it? What do I hope I will earn on this stock? And if it hits a point in time, higher or lower, what would be those trigger points where I would get out? Now, most people don't think of it that way. They just say, oh, Eastern Bank, they are going public. They must be a good company. I think I'll buy them because I know them as being a local bank. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing or a bad thing to buy the stock. That's totally up to you. But this letter that came out to individuals is the opportunity to buy shares of Eastern Bank stock if you are a depositor. The woman who was the waitress at the restaurant asked me, how can I buy Eastern Bank stock at $10 a share? And I said, are you a depositor there? And she says, no, I just heard about the fact that you're going to be able to buy Eastern Bank stock. And I said, well, if you're not a depositor there, you will have the opportunity to buy Eastern Bank stock when it goes public. It is not public yet. Right now, Eastern Bank is offering shares to a collection of people, those depositors and others, who can buy shares at $10. Now, that does not guarantee anybody anything. It does not guarantee that when the stock goes public, that it will open at $10. No one's even certain of that. It could open at $4. It could also open at $40. Who knows where it will open? And then when it does open, it might drop to $5 or go up to $20 or might just stay at $10. Who knows? But if you aren't a depositor at the bank, you can buy the shares once it goes public. Because what that means, once it's gone public, all the people that have bought shares of Eastern Bank stock prior to the initial public offering have the right to sell those stocks once it goes public. So you're going to be buying shares of stock from them. So we'll see. Am I encouraging people to buy it? No. I mean, it's just another stock, guys. I mean, realistically, Eastern Bank is a bank. It's considered a value company. Have financial companies done well in this stock market lately? No. Does that mean they can't do well in the future? No, they can do very well in the future. Who knows? But as I was talking, the woman said to me, well, I was thinking about buying 100 shares. I said, well, first of all, remember, you can't buy them. She says, I know. She says, but what if I bought it at 100 shares at $10 a share? I said, well, remember, $100 shares at $10 is $1,000. She says, yeah, I know, it's $1,000. That's what I'd be investing in the stock. I said, so what happens if the stock is now worth $1,500? And she said, well, okay. She says, but that's not good enough for me to get out. I said, well, you just made 50% on your money if it goes to $1,500. And she says, I did? I said, yeah. And so you need to understand something. That's why I start at the beginning, is to say, what is it that you want to get out of this stock? Are you hoping for it to go from $10 a share to $1,000 a share? What's the likelihood of that happening? Probably pretty slim, very, very, very slim. Or might it go from $10 to $11 or to $12? And so if you invested $1,000 and 2 years from now it's worth $1,200, are you happy with that? Now, most people would say, I'd love to get a 20% return over 2 years, but is $200 enough to get excited about before you start playing around with that? So it's a question to consider, something to think about, but it's up to you. It really is up to you. All right, we've got to take a quick break soon, but I want to remind you about a few things. Each and every Friday morning, I put together a newsletter. It's been going out since March of 2009. It's called Planning Pointers, and it lands in your inbox every Friday morning. You want to get the newsletter? You go to our website, freedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, and you can put in your name, your email address. Write me a message if you want, and we'd be happy to get you on the newsletter. Second thing we can do is if you'd like to sit down and talk with us. Yeah, we're not meeting in the office right now, but we are fielding a lot of questions and having an opportunity to talk to a lot of folks. We're doing it over the phone, through Zoom technology, and really learning a lot about people here in the community who are starting to think about getting serious about their financial planning. Perhaps they've had relationships with other financial professionals, and now they're saying, you know what? I think I really need to consolidate all this stuff. I need to talk to a certified financial planner, a CFP professional, someone who's a fiduciary, someone who puts my interests first. If that sounds like you, we'd love the opportunity to sit down and talk with you. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give our office a call. Leave a message on the machine, and Jody will schedule some time to have me call you back, or you can schedule time to call us. We can also send you an information kit if you'd like, or if you'd also like to learn more about the firm, just go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. When we get back, I just got a knock on the door, and it looks like my business partner, Marion Gilman, wants to come in and play on the radio. So I'm going to have her come back in and say hello. I know all of you like to hear from her. So when we're back, Marion Gilman, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're doing well. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall. And joining me today in studio is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, welcome.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for getting up bright and early this morning.
I know. It was tough, but I did it just for the listeners of the radio.
Yes. Isn't she nice? She's absolutely always looking out for everybody.
There you go.
Right now, like we've said, we have not been seeing clients in the office.
No.
But we have been doing meetings through Zoom, through phone calls, emails, and it's worked out fine. I mean, the technology has been pretty easy for people to adapt to.
Who would have thought? I mean, realistically, when we started the year, and even when we started doing this in March, being, you know, doing our meetings via Zoom or phone or whatever it is, I never would have expected that in September we would still be doing it.
Oh, I would have never either. And you know, we did offer video conference services for a couple of years prior to this.
Yes.
But I can't tell you how many people would struggle trying to figure out how to connect to the video conferencing thing.
Well, we used a different service as well. I think Zoom is a lot easier.
It is far easier. We'd be using GoToMeeting or Join.me or something like that beforehand.
Yes.
And Zoom has become so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how everybody gets along these days.
Yeah.
But there's going to be competitors. I mean, so people always ask, they said, well, why wouldn't I invest in Zoom technology? Well, you could. But remember, I think I've talked about this. In December, there were 20 million users of Zoom technology. That was in December of 2019. And now there's over 300 million users of Zoom technology. Are you looking for that kind of calculus to grow in that kind of level again? Absolutely not.
Of course not.
No.
And if you have a diversified portfolio and you've invested your money in a portfolio, a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund that invests in large growth stocks, Zoom technologies would be included.
It's generally going to be in there.
That's correct.
Right. And that answers the same thing. You know, people have asked about Peloton or Tesla. A lot of these companies that have done so well because of the stay-at-home environment. I mean, are these stocks able to continue that trajectory of keep going up? Probably not. But I'd much rather leave it to a portfolio manager to decide whether I should own a stock, buy a stock, or sell a stock.
That's correct. And we always do that. I mean, we focus on financial planning, which is really our expertise, not whether or not to buy Zoom or sell Tesla or buy, you know, Peloton or whatever that is. That's a lot of work. And we would be competing with a mutual fund or hedge fund or, which, you know, some large company where they have analysts that might follow five stocks, and that's their full-time job.
24/7. That's all
exactly.
They do, right?
Exactly. So they know everything about those companies.
Right.
We can't compete with that.
No, I mean, if someone wants to buy 100 shares of a particular stock, I mean, how would you or I know what we're going to read something or something that Cramer says or something we pick up on Barron's or CNBC or what my neighbor told me?
Right.
A portfolio manager digs a little deeper, don't they?
Oh, they most certainly do. And they go interview, not only do they interview the managers of the company and the workers, the factory workers, they also interview the users, they interview the competitors. So they have a whole, you know, they know all everything that's going on in the whole industry. So they know if there's an up and comer that's going to take over or that's trying to take market share away. I understand there's a new service coming out that's trying to compete with Peloton and mm-hmm. they're doing pretty well. Zwift or something like that.
There's a whole bunch of them that are out there.
But yeah, I mean, you know, so these are all things that do we keep our eye on that? No. And most small investors don't do that either because that's just not, you know, what most people can't compete with these large companies with huge resources to fund all of this
yeah,
research.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just, the Celtics have been playing, of course, and I had the opportunity to be a virtual fan. I don't know if people saw that. I was picking my teeth when they zoomed in on me.
You looked good.
Yeah, thank you. But they're using Microsoft Teams as their service for being able to do this video communication. And if you think about it, I mean, Zoom is a good-sized company. I mean, they've done well, but can Zoom compete with Microsoft? And as Microsoft starts to expand out Microsoft Teams, you know, what does that do to Zoom? Maybe they buy them. Who knows? That's not for you or I to decide.
Right. It really, we need to leave that up to the mutual fund managers. I mean, what scares me at this point in time, and I know you've talked about this, Mark, are the very small investors who are getting in and trading on Robinhood or those, you know, those very low cost providers. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, because everybody's at home and some people are working less, they have all this time on their hands and they're day trading and they hear a story about a stock and all of a sudden they pile in. And, you know, it's one of those things that stock may or may not be a good investment for a long term.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to recently have been asking us about how have we been managing our clients' portfolios this year and how is that different to how we managed it in 07 and 08 and when we had 9/11 almost 20 years ago. You know, it's hard to believe it was that long ago.
I know.
But how have we changed the way in which we manage, the way we manage our portfolios, Mary? Has there been any change?
Fundamentally, no change at all. Fundamentally, we use the same processes. We have never been proponents of individual stocks. We've always relied on the mutual fund managers or exchange traded funds to select the appropriate stock. We create a portfolio that is comfortable for our client, that fits with their risk tolerance, their time horizon, their age, how much money they might, if they're living off the portfolio, how much money they need to take as withdrawals every month or every year. So we create those portfolios, and those are designed for the long term. And so we are buy and hold investors. So when turmoil comes along, we know that our portfolios are geared towards having the amount of monies that clients might need in something more conservative, so we never have to sell a stock fund when the market is way down and they've gone way down. We know we're going to have the income clients need, so we can allow those portfolios to stay intact until it recovers. Now, I mean, this time was different from 2008, 2009, where not only did we see an enormous drop, it just took forever for the market to recover. I mean, right. It took 3 years. I shouldn't say forever, but it took 3 years for the market to fully recover. This time it took, what, 2 months?
That's it. It's been next to no time at all. Right. And no one would have expected that, right?
No one.
I still don't understand why it's come back.
Yes, I don't think anybody does.
And so with that thought, isn't it likely that the market could drop again?
It could, of course.
I expect it to. would you make any changes with the portfolios knowing that the market is going to drop?
No, because once again, we go back. We always go back to what we set up for the client, the individual client. And we're very client focused, and we're very focused on what those clients' goal is. Mm-hmm. So we need to be certain that portfolio is appropriate for that particular client and their goal. And as long as that's the case, so we will go back in turmoil, we absolutely go back and look to be sure the client's asset allocation or mix of investments is still appropriate. But if it's appropriate, we leave it. We don't necessarily change because of volatility.
I mean, look, we've talked about the fact that 65% of the clients here at Friedman Financial are in retirement. And so they're drawing money from their portfolio.
Right.
And so somebody who's thinking about approaching retirement and saying, oh my goodness, I've accumulated this amount of money. Do I need to sell out to preserve what I have so that I can create income? What do we do here in those situations?
Well, that's one of the dangers, I think, of not having someone to talk to, and particularly a professional to talk to about your money. Because if you sell out and to preserve your portfolio, think about what you would get at the bank. What are you getting at the bank right now? Can you even get 1%? I'm not even sure you can. And if inflation, I know the target of inflation is 2%. So if we have 2% inflation and you're getting 1% on your money, that value of your money erodes every year. So what if you spend 30 years in retirement? How are you going to keep up?
Right. Well, that talks about the fact that many people, and there's less and less people that are getting a fixed pension these days. You know, they get this pension, it's guaranteed to stay the same level. And maybe they got it 30 years ago and they're still collecting that pension.
Of course.
But that pension isn't buying what it bought back then. It can't buy what it does today.
Exactly. Think about what you paid 30 years ago for a car or for a house or, you know, whatever it might be, groceries. Yeah, exactly. And that's a very much a misconception that, you know, once you retire, you should keep your money very, very conservative, i.e. at the bank, protect it. Because if you don't have enough money that you can, you know, just deplete it all, you need growth in those.
I mean, look, in the 1980s and the 1990s, that whole concept of I just put my money in the bank and live off the interest. Well, you could do that. You were getting 5 and 6. Actually, in the 80s, you were getting in the teens.
Yes, you were. Right? Yes, exactly.
But, you know, $100,000 investment in 1984, when you can get, you know, 12%, you'd get $1,000 a month in interest.
Exactly.
Okay. But today, $100,000 at the bank, what can you get in interest? Maybe you can get $300 for the year. In interest. It's different.
It's pitiful.
But there are ways in which you can allocate your portfolio, set your financial life up so that you can continue to thrive and live the way you want to if you manage it properly and talk with somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I did see a headline that came across today about somebody who was getting ready to retire and needed to live up their money. And they said, oh, you know, it seems so simple, but there's just so much to choose from. And so what do you do?
And that's what we do at Friedman Financial.
Right.
And that's what we want to talk to you about. It's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. And we have to take a quick break. But when we get back, we want to talk to you about why the S&P 500's performance might be a little bit misleading. I want to bring you into the fold as to what's happening, how we can understand why we continue to make decisions as we do as it relates to asset allocation and give you the information you need so you can be smart about your investing strategy. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Go on.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant right here at 41 Cross Street. I am in studio today with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks for coming in. Marion always has great insights to share, and we have the listenership has really grown. We get a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of requests from folks, and they seem to really like you, Marion.
Well, I think they like you too, Mark.
Well,
so
you know what I think they really like? They like Christian.
Yeah, they like Christian.
We've had Christian on the radio a few times, and he's been a barrel of fun. So it's been good. Thank you for tuning in. I do want to remind our listeners that we put out a free weekly newsletter every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. All you need to do is go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, and we'll get you signed up for our newsletter. And if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, we hope you'll give us a call and schedule a free initial consultation with us. Our phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. So I wanted to bring our listeners into this conversation about what's been going on in the markets, where we've seen the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ, all hit new highs in the midst of a pandemic. And no one would have ever imagined, with the 35% drop we saw in the S&P 500 back in March, March 23rd actually was the low point, my daughter's birthday, so I'll never forget that. It has since come back, and it's come back roaring back. But it's a little misleading, isn't it, Marion?
Yes. So we hear every day that the S&P, right now, we're hearing every day that the S&P 500 is hitting new highs. So meaning it has not only come back from the decline, but it has gone on and grown even farther. And that's great. I mean, you know, we think this is a wonderful
thing. We'll take the
thing,
money, right?
Absolutely.
It's great to see the growth.
Absolutely. However, a lot of people will think, well, you know what? I have this mutual fund or I have this investment that's not doing quite so great. So what are you talking about that we're reaching new highs? Well, the S&P 500 has reached new highs, but if you break that down, there are six stocks in the S&P 500 that actually have driven the returns to new highs. Those six stocks, none of this is going to surprise you, are Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Microsoft, and Google. So these are the stocks that actually during the big decline in March, they barely budged. They didn't even go down, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. You were still using Amazon. Amazon had more business than they did before the pandemic.
Right. You couldn't even use Amazon Prime back in March and April because they couldn't honor the two-day delivery period of time, right?
Exactly.
There was that much demand.
Exactly. And we were all at home Googling pandemic, right?
Right.
A coronavirus. So you know, all of these things, and we were all on Facebook to see what everyone else was doing. So,
because that's where the real news is, right?
That's right.
That's where you get your real information.
You believe everything you read there, right? Of course. So, realistically, when we look at the performance of those six stocks, they really didn't even go down much at all. I mean, just a tiny little bit. Whereas the S&P 500 was down 35%. Those stocks would down a couple
because
percent.
Let's talk about that. So the S&P 500 is made up of 500 stocks.
That's correct. The largest stocks in the U.S.
Right.
500
and
largest
so
stocks.
Think about all the stocks that could have gone down. All of the hotel chains, all of the cruise ship chains, all of the restaurant purveyors, airlines, all of that, they got creamed, right?
Creamed, exactly. Yes. Nobody was driving. So, you know, oil and gas, I mean, there was no demand. Nobody left their house,
That's right.
So, you know, it was quite a time.
But
so.
But as long as we had internet access and we could shop online and we could search, that's where we spent our money.
That's right.
And so those, but what's interesting about the S&P 500, maybe you can help our listeners understand this, is that the S&P 500 is 500 stocks, but the price, the index isn't weighted equally to all 500 stocks, is it?
In the S&P 500, it depends on the market capitalization, which means the value of the company. So the stock price times the number of shares outstanding. So the stocks with the higher valuations, market capitalization,
not the price per share
necessarily, those are the ones that carry more weight mm-hmm. in the index. So these technology stocks all had high valuations, so they all represented, although there were only six stocks, they represent a significant portion of the returns. I believe it was like 26% of
huge.
The return.
Just six stocks out of 500.
Six stocks, that's correct. So that in and so remember, you've got 500 large growth stocks. I'm sorry, you've got 250 large growth stocks, 250 large value stocks. So you've got all of these banks in there, you've got Procter and Gamble's in there. I mean, you've got everything,
yeah,
all
everything.
Kinds of companies that you would recognize, oil companies. In reality, the S&P, the six stocks were up dramatically. The S&P 494, in other words, the 494 other stocks were actually down 4.82%.
And so this is as of
and
what
still
day?
Done. This is as of August 24th.
Okay.
So the largest stocks were up 10%. The six stocks were up 10%. The 494 stocks were down 4.62%. But because of the weighting at that point in time, the S&P 500 was up 5.2%.
And it's up even more today. I mean, it's a week old chart. It really is unbelievable.
It really is.
So you mentioned value and growth, Marion, that there's in the S&P 500, there's value stocks and there's growth stocks. And oftentimes people are saying, you know, well, if I'm going to invest in the stock market, I at least want to be certain that I'm going to get my dividends. And I want to count on some value stocks. And I know you've got some statistics here to support us on understanding the difference between performance and value and growth on some of these numbers here, because, you know, value is where people say, well, I need to get my dividends. I want to be sure I get them. What's the dividend? What's it going to pay for a dividend? And well, how well have value stocks worked out the past year or two?
The value stocks have not worked out very well at all. And, you know, those are the stocks, like those are the AT&Ts of the world. Again, the banks, the ExxonMobil's, I mean, all of those companies that so many people have held in their portfolios for years and years mm-hmm. and years, and all they care about is the dividend.
Right. That doesn't mean these are bad companies. It's just they haven't been in favor for a long time.
Exactly. So when we look at the performance year to date, as of the end of August, August 31st, 2020, growth stocks are up 30.47%.
It's large cap growth stocks.
Large cap growth stocks.
So those are the biggest stocks that would trade like on the S&P 500.
So those include those, all those tech stocks, up 30.47% year to date. Value stocks are down 9.35%. Huge dichotomy. That's like, you know, 40% difference in returns. And I mean, it's amazing.
So what do you tell someone who calls you and says, Marion, I see my large cap value fund has been doing so poorly compared to my large cap growth fund. Should I sell out of my large cap value fund and buy the large cap growth fund that continues to do so well?
And we tell them, you know what? That can change at any minute. So at any point in time, all of a sudden, value stocks might come back into favor. By the way, if we look at returns over 3 years, so remember, I just told you that large growth performance was 30.47% year to date. Over 3 years, it's 24%. So again, you know, you want to think about this. It's not always 30% year to date. And value stocks are up that same time frame, but of course, they were up only 4.49%. But once again, it can change at any time. There have been years when value stocks far outperformed growth stocks. So you can't, if you keep a diversified portfolio, you can capture the returns whenever they happen. If you chase after just what's doing well right now, not only do you get the good times, but you get the bad times as well. There's a lot more volatility.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, oftentimes we make our decisions based upon headlines or
what happened
sound
yesterday.
Bites. Well, even whatever we hear. But yeah. I, you and I were talking this past week that we were reminded that people said if Donald Trump had won the election in 2016, which sectors would benefit most in a Donald Trump presidency back in 2016. And the consensus was there's two sectors that would have benefited the most, and that was financials and energy. And how'd that work out?
Worst sectors. Absolutely the worst.
So we have to be careful with what the prognosticators, what the media is telling us. And I frankly, I say this on the radio. I said, I think we have to be very careful in our belief that this is a lopsided election that we're heading into. We are very biased here in Massachusetts, how we believe the election's gonna work out. But this is a big country.
Absolutely, and you know, I will never forget Election Day of 2016, actually the day after the election, because the results came in on Tuesday night, Election Day, and you know, originally, I think everybody, most people expected Hillary to win.
I certainly did. Yep.
Absolutely. I did as well. Around 10 o'clock at night, it looked like, guess what? Donald Trump was going to win. The market started to tank. International markets were down. U.S. markets were down, significantly down. Well, I was supposed to get on a plane the next morning to go to a meeting in California. And I remember talking to you, Mark, saying, I don't have to go. I'm happy to stay here because we wanted to be available for the clients. And you said, no, you know, go. By the time you get there, you know, the markets will be opening. We'll be able to, you know, we'll talk. I'll still be available. I was at an LPL meeting, so our back mm-hmm. office meeting. So I got on that plane and I was on JetBlue and I watched the stock market. It was hugely down. Before the market opened.
Hugely, that's a Trump word.
Yeah, there you go.
Bigly.
Bigly. It was way down before the market opened. And then all of a sudden it turned around and it ended the day higher than it had ever been. So you know what? Who knows?
Who knows?
Right?
So I just, you know, when I think about the markets and I think about how we invest, we have to ask ourselves, do we expect the economy to be better 3 years, 5 years? Actually, I should say the stock market, because right now the stock market's doing well. The economy is not so much. But do we expect the stock market to be better 5 years from now than it is right now? And if it is, why would we go ahead? Why would we go and start making changes to our portfolio? Why would we get out? Why would we adjust our portfolio? If we believe in our strategy, if we believe in what we're doing, we hang tight and we recognize that there will be bumps along the way. If we need to rebalance, we rebalance. But we always look at your portfolio from the perspective of how is this integrating with everything else? And that's what we try to do at Friedman Financial. Not only what we try to do, it's what we insist on doing. We will never make an investment decision on your behalf until we know where everything is and what everything is worth. And it's why so many families enjoy working with us, is because we take the time to understand everything. And it's not even the money that we're managing. It's everything in your life, from the value of your home to the insurance policies that you might maintain, to the 401k at work, the deferred compensation plan, a Roth IRA, an inheritance you might get, Social Security you're collecting, an increase in your pay, an employee stock purchase plan that you're involved in, or a stock option program. All of those pieces are all part of what we're looking at Friedman Financial to try to help you make the smartest decisions. One of the things that a listener had called in about last week was they were really intrigued by our tax review service. The fact that we don't do taxes, but all of our clients, if you are a client of our office, we ask that you send us your tax return each year. And we review your tax return. We can do it pretty quickly to see if there are any glaring errors, but not just the errors, to see if there were missed opportunities that you could take advantage of for the following year. Look, 90% of the time you're doing the best you can, but periodically we find those diamonds in the rough and we try to help save our clients some money. So it's one of the added benefits. A lot of people look at a financial planner and say, oh, you're just investing my money. Man, we do so much more than that, don't we?
We certainly do, yes. And so, and you know, the tax planning as well, that has, you know, that's been extremely beneficial in terms of people who are more charitably inclined as well. We can time the donations to charity now with the new tax rules, such that they can take advantage of this. It's not so easy to do anymore. So there are a lot of opportunities.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we're back, I want to play a little game with Marion. There is Warren Buffett turned 90 years old this past week. And Warren has a bunch of Buffett-isms or Warren-isms. And I thought maybe you could help us make some sense, some financial advice in a language you can understand when I read some of these so people can understand what they really mean.
Sounds like fun.
You ready for it?
Ready.
All right, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We'll be right back.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, and just above, not Alto Forno anymore. It's now Daniela's Restaurant, soon to open October of 2020. And I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, and she is glowing from ear to ear, excited that Daniela's is going to open up.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
And they're opening for lunch.
Oh my God, so dangerous.
So we're gonna be able to get there for lunch and it's gonna be great. So
I wonder if they'll deliver up the stairs.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, delivery and takeout seems to be the thing to do these days.
Exactly, right.
So maybe we'll get a private delivery. We'll see. Anyways, we are here in studio today. It is Labor Day weekend. Hope you're all doing well. It's usually the weekend when all the kids are back to school, but bit of a delay there, right?
There you go. Who knows when they're going? Well, theoretically, what, September 16th?
Yeah, somewhere around the mid part of September. And whether they go back in person, hybrid, totally remote. I mean, every town, every city is trying to manage this as best they possibly can. Look, our goal is to keep everybody safe, but I think we all agree that our kids need to get back to work. I mean, even my son, who's a senior, Corey's like, I just don't want to do this online. He feels like he got nothing out of his education in March when everything shut down. He says there was really no incentive to work hard.
And it was pass-fail? Is that what
everything was pass-fail. Yeah. And, you know, she says it was just no incentive. And he wanted to do it, but it was like, you know, there were too many other things going on. And so I hope they create the incentives that are necessary.
I mean, that's going to be tough this year.
It is, because a lot of the schools are not even going to require SAT scores this year.
Right, because they couldn't take them,
right?
Or did they take them on?
Corey has yet to take an SAT course.
Really?
SAT exam. He's signed up for one in a few weeks.
Yeah.
But there's still uncertainty as to whether that will even happen.
Wow.
Anyways, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, lands in your inbox. All you need to do is go to our website, freedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. You can put in your name, your email address, and you will start getting our free weekly newsletter. I promise you, we do not use the newsletter as a tool to start prospecting or reaching out and calling you and giving you a phone call in the middle of dinner or some random hour of the night. No. We want to just give you financial advice in a language you can understand for you to use when you want. Now, I will admit, many people who subscribe to this newsletter do reach out to us and they ask us questions, and sometimes they inquire about wanting to work with us. Use that as an opportunity, but it's totally up to you. If you want to ask us questions, if you want to drop us an email, or if you want to just call the office and schedule a free initial consultation, though we're not meeting in the office, we do them through Zoom. We can do it over the phone, just even have a nice chat with you and just give you a sense as to what it is that we do and for us to learn a little bit about your situation. Give the office a call, 978-531-8108. Well, when we last left, I had promised that Marion and I were going to play a little game. She was going to try to help you understand some of these Buffett-isms or Warren-isms. I'm not sure which we call it. But Warren Buffett turned 90 years old. He's probably one of the most successful investors in the world. But Warren keeps things very simple. He's a Nebraska guy.
And he holds forever, right?
He does.
He holds stocks forever.
Yeah, the whole trading thing of buying and selling is not for Warren Buffett.
Nope.
And so maybe you can help us understand some of these famous lines of Warren Buffett's, okay? I'm going to throw out the first one. It says, it's not necessary to do extraordinary things to get extraordinary results.
You know, Warren always believed that he invested in stuff that he knew and that he would hold on for a very, very long time. And I think that was his focus. It was not to do something exceptional, invest in the next best thing. It was more a solid company who can make profits and who can consistently do that over a long-term horizon.
Did great.
There you go.
You know your stuff.
Okay.
All right, you've heard this one. This is famous for Warren Buffett. Only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked.
I love that one. That's a riot. So I think, and I want to say he said that probably in 2008, 2009, when we had that really tough environment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what he's talking about is when things are good, when the economy's good, you can mask a lot of mistakes because, you know, sometimes, you know, companies, people are just piling into stocks and it doesn't really matter what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They just love the concept. They love, you know, the idea of it. But once things get a little tough, once the tide goes out, things get tough, then what happens is, you know, you discover, well, these companies really don't have a system for creating sales, or these companies don't have a system for managing their expenses. There were a lot of companies that just spent money wildly, and they really weren't making a profit necessarily. And it was just because the market was doing so well in general, or the economy in general. So those companies were the ones that got discovered.
Yeah, I agree.
Times.
And I mean, those are, you know, you hear, everybody knows somebody who's working for a startup.
Yes.
And everybody gets excited about the startup, right?
Yes. So we had a guy who worked here, who worked for a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And that was way back though. That
it was Trevor,
tech,
right?
Right. You know that name.
Yes.
So that was way back in 2000. And that was with the pets.com era. That was not pets.com.
But this is when it was one of those shopping companies. It was online grocery orders, which we've now kind of mastered a little bit, but they were doing their own thing.
Yeah, but back then, these were not profitable. It was a great idea and people loved the concept, but the company itself, there was no foundation underneath it. They didn't have the experience. They didn't have the expertise. They didn't have the systems. So once things got tough, they couldn't make it without all the venture capital money like flowing into them. They were living off of the money that people were giving them, or stock sales, you know.
And I think it's interesting to explain that. I mean, usually a lot of these startups are funded with what are called angel investors or virtual capital money. I mean, venture capital.
Yeah.
Where they throw a bunch of money saying, hey, that sounds like a great idea. We'll fund the idea.
Right.
But eventually the money runs out if you're not making money, right?
That's correct. And so it depends. I mean, you know, you'll get funded initially to a certain extent. And then, you know, sometimes a company, let's say you get, I don't know, just for sake of argument, let's say you get $10 million and that gets you a piece of the way there. And now you're at the next level. So now you got to go out and get more money. And so as long as you can sell your idea to investors, they might give you more money. But at a certain point, you know, after you've gone through, they call them rounds of investing. Mm-hmm. So after you've gone through one or two rounds, they want to see some results too. I mean, they don't, you know, they're not going to continue investing if you're not really making progress and you're not getting some results. So at some point, the money dries up.
Yeah, so we're sitting up talking with my business partner, Marion Gilman. We're kind of playing a little game, celebrating Warren Buffett's 90th birthday and taking a look at some of the famous quotes that Warren has been known for saying. He tries to keep things, frankly, in a language you can understand.
Absolutely.
And so I'm throwing some of these out here and asking Marion for an additional interpretation. Here's another one. The stock market is a device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient.
And that's the long-term investing thing. So people who trade rapidly and who, you know, who are in and out of stocks, they're the ones that get, you know, they're the ones that actually lose money typically. Those who buy and hold for long periods of time, they're the ones that make money.
Yeah, and that really is the name of the game, is being patient. Right. But it's easier to be patient when you know where everything is and what everything is worth.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do at Friedman Financial. It's what we love to do for you. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, we hope you'll take the opportunity to give us a call. We welcome the opportunity to give you a second opinion on what you're doing with your financial plan, or even offer you something that's totally fresh and new. Maybe you've been doing it on your own and you just want us to give it a shot and really show you what it is that we can do. We have the software, we have the tools, we have the technology. I make myself sound like I'm talking about Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
There you go.
But I feel like we do. We've been doing this for 50 some odd years for families that live all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire community. We've got to wrap things up. I want to remind everybody once again that we do put out a newsletter every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. 10:30 in the morning, it lands in your inbox. If you like it, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Marion Gilman.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, as always, you're always welcome here. And we're going to make room for Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. Thanks and have a wonderful day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.
Cluster. There are everyday
stop the spread of germs that cause COVID-19
diseases.
Wash your hands often or use hand
avoid
sanitizer.
Close contact with people
avoid
who
touching
sick.
Your eyes,
avoid
nose,
touching
and mouth.
Your eyes, nose and mouth.
Clean things that are frequently
stay home
touched
when you are sick.
Cover your
cover
mouth
your
when
cough
you cough or sneeze. Use a
clean
tissue or your inner elbow.
Touched objects with household
stay home
cleaning
if you are
spray.
Sick. Avoid
for more
close
information,
contact with
visit
others.
CDC.gov
and think ahead about how
COVID-19.
To take care of yourself and your
this
loved ones.
Message brought to you by
for
the
more
National
information,
Association
visit
mass.gov/COVID-19.